It's good to come together and worship the Lord. And as Matthew has just read from the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus talks about, out of all the affairs in life, the importance of putting the kingdom first. I want to talk a little bit this morning about what this church values the most. What is our priority? What is valued the most out of all the things in life? There in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, we get caught up with our daily affairs of food, shelter, and clothing. And Jesus said not to be anxious over those things, but to put the kingdom first. We all have to make some decisions each day and each week as to what is going to be the most valuable in our life. I want us to think a little bit this morning about what this church values most. You think about the religious world in general and all the different types of churches, or even among just churches of Christ in this area. What are their values? What are their priorities? When you consider what a church can value and what it cannot, there are things that come to my mind. A lot of times you can tell what a church values by its property. You just simply drive by and you can see what their emphasis is. You can see what their priority is. I've been by particular churches where the fellowship hall is the most important thing. It's what they value the most. It's the biggest building, and where they meet to study the Bible, it's smaller. They clearly value social and recreational things more than the Word of God. Their family life center is often bigger than the place where they meet to study the Bible. They might have a large gymnasium. They clearly value social and recreational things just by simply looking at their property. Now, we're not intending to judge motives here and read people's hearts, but we also understand that there are things that come up in our lives where on the outside it shows where our values lie. I'm not saying this is the case with every church or every denominational church or even among our brethren, but a lot of times this is what can tell us where a church's values lie. Just simply look at their property and what they spend their money on. Sometimes you can tell what a church values by its practices. You begin to look at the things that they do, and what they do traces itself back to the words of men. My pastor says, my preacher says, the reverend says, or this particular denominational book or that particular denominational book tells us to do these things, or this conference or this synod has made a ruling and this is what we're doing. And the reason we practice these things is because headquarters tells us to practice these things. Clearly, their values are in men and what the words of men are. And so some work that they're engaged in or some act of worship that they're engaged in, they don't turn to the Bible. They don't appeal to the Bible for justification. They say, well, some man has said, or this particular denomination has always done this. And so clearly they're valuing the words of men over the Word of God. Sometimes you can tell by a church's practice and what they value, and also by its programs. Sometimes if you were to call the phone number of a particular church in town, there'll be a secretary that will answer. And that secretary will give you the list of programs that this church offers. And a lot of times the programs are social and recreational in nature. And there'll be a Mother's Day Out program. And there will be a seniors program that will take you to Nashville, to Opry Mills Mall, and then bring you back home. There's a number of different kinds of programs that revolve around social and recreational activities. Do you want to join the ball team? Do you want to play bingo on Thursday nights? Or whatever the case might be, there's a whole list of things that you can do. When you look at those programs and you find that they're not in the Word of God, you see clearly that that church values things that are not in the Word of God, and they're going to put an emphasis on the social and the recreational. And then sometimes, and this is often true among churches of Christ, you can tell what a church values by its preaching and teaching program. Is there going to be an emphasis on entertainment and plays and productions? And in the classroom, is there going to be an emphasis on having a good time and making the kids laugh and have fun? Or is there an emphasis, 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2, preach the Word. But the preacher always starts with a scripture, but then it just goes downhill from there. And preachers, even among some in churches of Christ, know enough. They know enough to introduce at least one Bible passage or scatter a few throughout the message, but keep it light and fluffy and entertaining, and certainly don't call upon anyone to make any serious changes. And we're going to get the young people in with the plays and the productions. After all, they have media all throughout their week. Why not promote media during the worship service? And they forget a very basic Bible passage. Turn with me to John chapter 6. That God draws us. God draws us. Not through plays and productions and entertainment, but John chapter 6 and verse 45. They shall all be taught of God. Everyone that hath heard from the Father and hath learned cometh unto me. God draws us through the preaching and teaching of His Word, not other things to supplement that of an entertainment nature. So a lot of times you can tell what a church values by these things. What does Memorial Boulevard value? What do we value as a congregation? And I'm using the word church this morning in the New Testament sense of the people. Not the building, of course. But the people. What do we value the most? Let me remind ourselves from the Word of God, and I believe all of us. And I'm speaking on behalf of everyone, but I think we're all on the same page with this. That we're all in agreement and that we're all unified, that we value these things. This is good for our visitors to know. This is good for all of us to be reminded of what we're going to put first in our lives. Number one, we value truth above all else. And here's why. Turn with me to Proverbs. We're going to look at a couple of passages. We value truth more than anything else. You know why? Because the Bible tells us, God tells us, that truth is more precious than gold. You know, there are a lot of things in life of a monetary nature. And we all own things and purchase things with money. And we understand that money has its place. But there is something even more important than money. There's something more important than precious metals, gold and silver. And that is the truth of the Word of God. And we're going to value that more than anything. We're not going to sacrifice that. We're not going to abandon that. Isaiah talks about how that truth, he's talking about the wickedness of Israel, and he says truth has fallen in the streets. They had let it down. They had not valued it. But we value it. And in Proverbs chapter 3, in verse 13, happy is the man that findeth wisdom. This is the wisdom from God's Word, God's truth. And the man that getteth understanding, for the gaining of it is better than the gaining of silver, and the profit thereof than fine gold. What you hold in your hands this morning is the truth of God's Word, and we value it above anything else. There are other passages that speak to these things. Look at chapter 4 and verse 7. I love this verse. What do you get throughout the week? You'll go to the store and you'll get some things. You'll get a paycheck. You'll get some things. Out of all the things that you get every day and every week, out of all you're getting, what do we principally value the most? God's Word. Wisdom is the principal thing. Principal means the highest, the top. This is God's Word. It is the principal thing. Yea, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding. I love that passage. Out of all that you get, make sure that the getting of God's Word is the principal thing. These other passages speak to these same matters. Chapter 8, verse 10. Chapter 16, verse 16. Chapter 20, verse 15. And then a well-known passage, Proverbs 23:23. Buy the truth and sell it not. Yea, wisdom and understanding. And so we value truth most of all because it is more important than anything in life. The truth is what sets us free. The preaching and teaching of God's Word sets us free from sin and other things that go on in life. Jesus is the way, the truth, the life. The Holy Spirit would guide the apostles into all the truth. And what we hold in our hands is that truth. that summation of all that God has for us. His word, John 17:17, is truth. The truth is what God wants for all mankind. He would have all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. It is the knowledge of the truth in even correcting individuals that God wants for our lives. Truth we value the most. And we're going to uphold it with all of our might. In 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15, the Apostle Paul talks about how that the church is the pillar and the ground of the truth. Those two Greek words mean the pillar and then the support or the base. We're going to uphold truth at Memorial Boulevard. We value it more than anything. We're not interested in large buildings and large numbers and social and recreational things. We're not interested here in entertainment. We're not interested here in fun and games. We're here to worship God. We're here to serve God. And we're here to preach and teach and study and learn the truth. Because it makes us free. It makes us right with God. It's what God wants for our lives. We value it more than anything. If someone were not walking uprightly according to the truth, we would want to talk with them about that. If I ceased to preach the truth from this pulpit, brethren here would want to talk with me about that. We value truth. There's something else that we also value, and that is we value faith. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11, and let's see why. You know, there's some things in life that you can do without. There's a lot of things around the house that you can do without. There's a lot of things in our life that we can do without. But you know one thing you cannot live without? One thing you just absolutely cannot have missing in your life, and that is faith. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, without faith, it is impossible to be well-pleasing unto God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that seek him. Now notice how this point is built on the previous point. Truth is the word of God. Paul said in Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We value truth, and then we value the faith that is built upon that word of God. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. And without faith, that is believing in God and obeying his word, it is impossible to be well-pleasing. I mean, so that's why we value it more than anything. You cannot be right with God without it. We cannot be pleasing to God without it. It's something that is essential to our life. In Acts chapter 14 and verse 22, Paul encourages the new Christians there in that area around Antioch and other places that they will continue in the faith. Luke records in Acts chapter 16 and verse 5 that the brethren were strengthened in number and in the faith. The faith is the belief that we have that comes from the faith, the word of God, and it strengthens us. It helps us to get through life. It helps us to get through those situations. And our young Christians who are here this morning, it's going to help them get through life. And so in 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 13, we're to be strong in the faith. We're to be acting like men and strong in the faith. It all gets back to what is important here at Memorial Boulevard. Our faith in God that comes from God's Word, we value it more than anything. More than tradition and what man says and what the world believes, but faith that comes from the Word of God. And we will defend it to our dying day. In Philippians chapter 1 and verse 27, turn with me there. Matthew's been doing a great job in teaching the book of Philippians. Paul talks about the Philippian brethren there and how that they striving together for the faith. Do you see how that's a congregational activity? We're all going to join hands and we are going to strive together that whether I see you or I'm absent, I may hear of your state that you stand fast. Here's the soldier that's going to put his foot down and stand his ground, that you stand fast in one spirit, that is a unified attitude, with one soul, striving for the faith of the gospel. The Greek word translated striving there is to contend. It's a military term. We're going to put up a fight when it comes to the truth of God's word. You're not going to bowl us over. You're not going to run over us. We're going to contend for the faith. Jude 3. In Jude 3, if you turn over there, well-known passage, contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. The Greek word there is agon. We get agony from it, and agonize. It literally meant a hand-to-hand combat. It was used in the New Testament for those wrestlers and those soldiers who would wrap themselves around each other in hand-to-hand combat. You contend earnestly for the faith. In 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 12, we are to fight the good fight of the faith. The New Testament says we are never to strive over carnal things and worldly things. Never to do that. But we strive, Philippians 1:23, for the faith. We do fight for that. We value it more than anything, because it is what makes us pleasing to God. And ultimately, it is the faith that takes us home. A couple of Revelation passages. In Revelation chapter 13 and verse 10, talking about those who are in heaven and they make it through the persecutions of this life. John writes, "Here is the patience and the faith of the saints." He's just been talking about how that they go through the persecution of the beast. And this government that is persecuting New Testament Christians, and they're faithful all the way to their death. Chapter 14 and verse 12, again, talking about the persecution. And there are going to be those who don't worship the beast. They don't engage in this worldliness. Here is the patience of the saints. They that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. And I heard a voice from heaven saying, "Write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, for their works follow with them." They are going to take that faith that they have fought for all through life, and they're going to take it all the way with them to heaven. We're going to value faith more than anything, because without it, we cannot be well-pleasing to God. Now, a third thing that we value here, and we all need to understand, and we all need to be reminded, and if anyone was visiting among us, they would need to understand, okay, what does this church value? What does it stand for? We value the church. We value all the brethren that are here. The church is the brethren. You say, well, Chris, what do you mean by that? Well, turn with me to Acts chapter 20. We value the church. We value brethren. Most of all, because you know how valuable the church is? How valuable is the church? It is so valuable that it took the precious blood of Jesus to buy it. That's how valuable it is. And so, as the church, we are going to do whatever it takes to encourage and build up our brethren and stand for our brethren and stand for truth and help them in life, help them make it through life, because it took the precious blood of Jesus to get them here. In Acts chapter 20, when Paul is talking to the elders and the importance of shepherding the flock in a right way. In Acts chapter 20, verse 28, "Take heed unto yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers or bishops to feed the church of the Lord." And then he reminds these elders of how important the church is, "which he purchased with his own blood." Which he purchased with his own blood. That's how valuable the church is. So you start up here on the front row with these young Christians and you just work yourself all the way around. Every one of them was purchased by the precious blood of Jesus. That's how valuable this group is. This is not just any old group. And so, as an assembly of Christians, we're not going to do anything to cause one of these little ones to stumble or anybody else in this room. Everyone was bought by the precious blood of Jesus, and I'm going to stand up for every one of you. And you're going to stand up for the person beside you. We're going to value this, and we're not going to do a thing ever to tear someone down, cause someone to stumble, cause someone to sin, cause a problem. Because the church is valuable, and I'm not going to do anything to hurt it. Now, notice a couple of things going on at Corinth. Corinth had its problems. And one thing that Paul reminds them of is that you are a local church that is valuable. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. One thing that Paul said should not be done, and there are several things that could be listed here. I'm just going to list a couple. 2 or 3, but look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Paul said that when it comes to personal opinions, I'm not going to do anything to cause people to stumble. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, beginning in verse 23, he's talking about things that are lawful within themselves. He's not talking about immoral things. But even those things, I'm not going to press upon somebody else. And then he says at the end, verse 31, 1 Corinthians 10, 31, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Give no occasion of stumbling either to Jews or to Greeks or to the church of God. You're not going to do anything to cause them to stumble. You know why? Because it's valuable. And when we forget that, that's when we come in and we just treat brother in any old way. But it is so valuable that we're not going to do that. And so we're not going to cause the church of God to stumble. Look at verse 33 then. Even as I also please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of the many. When I come in here, it's not about me. It's about you, and I'm going to stand up for you with all of my might, and I'm not going to cause you to stumble. And all of us are going to have that attitude. Now turn with me to another passage. Turn with me to chapter 11. The church at Corinth had some members who had forgotten how valuable the church was. And they had forgotten the purpose of the Lord's Supper. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, some of them were coming in and using that just as a common meal. And they would come in and they would sit down and start eating. Look at chapter 11 in verse 20. When therefore you assemble yourselves together, it is not possible to eat the Lord's Supper. For that is, it's not possible to do it right. They were doing it, but it's not possible to do it right and be pleasing to God while you're doing it in this way. For you in your eating, each one of you taketh before his own supper, and one is hungry and another is drunken. What? Have you not houses to eat or drink in? Or despise you the church of God? Are you not thinking, people? You come in here and you despise. That means to consider as nothing. You devalue. You put it down. What are you thinking, people? Don't you have houses to eat or drink in? Or do you just want to come in here and despise the church of God? What do you, that's a mild rebuke. It's a backhanded way of rebuking and saying, you people don't realize the value of this assembly. You don't come in here and act like that because the church is a valuable thing. Now turn with me to one last example in this book. Turn with me to chapter 14. There were those in the church at Corinth that had some spiritual gifts, and some of them were using them in such a way that they were elevating themselves above others, and they weren't using love anymore. And so the tongue speakers especially had this attitude that this is something that's more important, and we don't need the other members and the other gifts. And Paul reminds them that we're all here to edify and build up the church. And so we're not going to do anything that tears the church members down. We're going to do only that which is going to build the church members up. In chapter 14 and verse 5, now I would that you all speak with tongues, but rather that you should prophesy. And greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues, except he interpret, that the church may receive edifying. You people have forgotten that we are the church. And this is a valuable group, and you started to come in here and using gifts without love, chapter 13, and you're tearing the church down. We're here to build it up, not tear it down. Chapter 12, so also, since you are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that you may abound unto the edifying of the church. It's the building up, because Paul knew, and he wanted them to remember, that the church of God was purchased with his own blood. We value the church more than anything. And I'll stand up for each and every one of you on that matter. We value the church. We value souls. You know why? Because Jesus said the soul is more important than anything. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 16. You see, it's not about numbers here. Although we're not opposed to having more folks, but it's not about numbers per se. It's not about how many young people we have and those types of things with the building and with the crowds. We're valuing what God wants us to value. Truth, faith, the church, and souls. And that's something on the inside of us, not on the outside of us. In Matthew chapter 16, Jesus talking to his disciples and his followers about true discipleship. Verse 24, if any man would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever would save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life for my sake shall find it. What shall a man be profited if he gain the whole world and lose his soul? We sing a song in our songbook based on that verse. Or what shall a man give in exchange for his life? He's saying that the soul is more important than any of your material things that you could get. If you gain the whole world and lose your soul, what does it profit? It's a rhetorical question. He already knew the answer. He's trying to get them to realize it's not more profitable to gain the whole world if you lose your soul. Your soul is more valuable than those things. That's why when these doors are open, our focus here is on souls and getting souls to heaven. It's not about fun and games and entertainment and numbers for numbers' sake and those types of things. It's about winning souls. And when someone comes in from the outside who's not a member of the church, Proverbs 11 and verse 30, he that winneth souls is wise. We're going to try to win non-Christians and non-converts to Christ. And those who are inside this building who are already saved, turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 4. It's about the preaching and the teaching of God's Word in our Bible classes and from this pulpit and when we're here. We're here to worship God. And with regard to the Word of God, it's going to be the preaching of the Word, period. In verse 3, Paul talks about those with itching ears. They want something else. And so they go to the elders and say, could we have something else other than the Word? They go to the preacher, we've got itching ears. Could we have something else other than the Word? And some people cave in and go along and give in with that and start providing that. But with here, it's about the preaching of the Word. There are prayers that are offered that encourage me. Prayers to the effect that it's just the preaching of the Word is what we want. That's encouraging. Because if somebody comes in this building and they're not a Christian, we're going to try to win their soul to Christ. And those who are inside this building, we're going to try to win their soul to Christ and keep them saved. That's what's more important than anything. There's a time and place for social and recreational activities, the feeding of the body. But here we're about the feeding of the soul. In John chapter 6, when the people came to get more food, Jesus said, work not for the food which perishes. Work for that which builds up into eternal life. We're fed from the manna of heaven, and that's what's going to be provided here, not fun and games. That's what feeds our soul. The soul is more valuable than the outward body and physical and social and recreational kinds of things. And so here it is a focus on the soul. That's why we will only preach and teach God's Word, because that's what gets to the soul. You remember in Hebrews chapter 4, 12 and 13, that the Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword, even to the dividing of the joint and marrow and the soul and the spirit. It can get right in and cut to the quick and make the changes. That's where God wants His knife to end up, in our soul and making us right with Him. That's where He wants His sword to cut. And that's what is provided here. And with regard to the elders, in one day, I want us to work toward having elders again. The elders, in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 17, watch on behalf of souls. Do you know of some elderships that are really not watching for souls? That they're watching for other kinds of things that people are concerned about? Souls needs to be their number one priority, because the soul is more invaluable than anything. We value service. One last point and the lesson is yours. We've been studying a great book of Philippians that has to do with service, and as I said, Matthew's doing a great job. We value service here. And I appreciate those who have served me. I try to serve you. If I'm not doing that to the best of my ability, please bring that to my attention. because we want to be the greatest servants that we can for this very reason. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 20. It is service that makes us great in the kingdom. It is service that puts us first in the kingdom. With so many people in our culture and society today, it's about selfishness, not service. But Jesus said, if you want to be great and first, if you want to be top, as it were, you want to be the top dog in the kingdom, you want to be right up there, the important, then you get way down here and you serve. We value service here. Not so shall it be among you, verse 26. But whosoever would be great among you should be your servant or minister. And whosoever would be first among you shall be your servant, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and give his life a ransom for many. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 16, verse 15. I like the word that the King James uses here. We hear so much today about people being addicted to drugs. You know, we need to be addicted to something. We need to be addicted to serving our brethren. And so we're going to set ourselves, some versions say, the King James says, addicted themselves to the needs of the saints. Why? Because that's what makes us great and first in the kingdom. Not worldly things, not worldly prestige, not drawing attention to ourselves, but putting on that towel, as it were, and girding ourselves and serving other people. Notice the Christians here, the household of Stephanus that is commended here in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 15. Now I beseech you, brethren, you know, they had demonstrated this in their life, you know the house of Stephanus, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have set themselves, the King James says, they have addicted themselves to minister unto the saints. This is going to be our priority. We value service so much that in or out of this building, with regard to the rest of the brethren here, we're going to find out what we can do to serve them. Are we going to go check on them? Are we going to make a phone call? Are we going to make a visit? Do we need to take something? Do we need to help them in some way? And even those who are outside the household of God, we're going to do good unto all men as we have opportunity. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10. Why? Because Jesus said, this is what makes one great and first in the kingdom. Well, the lesson is yours. Do you know churches with these values? If you do, great. Do you know churches who don't value these things? Do you know some churches of Christ who don't value these things? Why is this important? We'll close with this thought. A church with these values, and I believe we have these values, and we want these values. A church with these values will grow in number and in strength. It may take some time, but we will slowly add to the number. We will slowly add to the spiritual strength of this church as years go by. Sometimes it takes time. The parables of growth in the Gospels talk about how that the seed is germinated, and it takes some time to grow, especially the one in Mark chapter 4 where you plant the seed and it takes some time for the blade to come up and then it produces. It's teaching the idea of patience and growth. But a church with these values will grow in number and in strength. And that's what we want. And I've seen that here, and I believe we will continue to see that. A church with these values will have influence in their community. We will really be able to be a light in the midst of this town, this community, with these values. Without these values, all we are is just another social club. There's no influence at all. People drive down the street and we're not standing out. We're not standing for anything. We're not providing anything different. So people drive down the street and they're like, well, the memorial of our Church of Christ, they're just offering what everybody offers. Let's keep driving. But when you stand for something that's different and right and these values that are in God's Word, some, the right ones, the good and honest hearts, they look up. They take notice. Their attention is caught. And we have influence in this community. And then last of all, we will be able to remain faithful to the Lord because this is what He wants for us, and He will bless us. This is what this church values the most. We cannot help others if they don't want these values. We cannot make someone else have these values. All we can do is try to encourage them to have these biblical values. But regardless of what other folks are doing, this is what we're about. And as I said earlier, We all need to be reminded of this. Our visitors need to be reminded of this. You need to know what this church is about. And day in and day out, week in and week out, month in and month out, year after year, we're going to try to just stay on this course and not deviate from it. We're not going to try to change and provide something different and maybe, all that hadn't worked in the past, we're just going to day in and day out stand for these values. Our children will be saved by it. Our young people will be saved. We're not interested in numbers, large crowds, other kinds of things that people are interested in. Well, how many young people do they have and what programs do they provide? We're just simply going to stand for these biblical values and be right with God. And we want to encourage you to stand with us, and we invite you to stand with us in that matter. If there's someone here this morning that realizing you have not valued your soul and it's not right with God, we would encourage you to step forward, repenting of your sins and being baptized into Christ, or as an erring child of God, come back. Value your soul more than anything. Stand on truth. Stand on principle. Stand on faith. Stand up for every member of the church here, young or old. Begin to serve and put on the towel and be first and great through that service. If we can encourage you to make your life right in any way, why would you come as we stand and sing?